Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to hear from you right now, particularly if you're hearing the broadcast during the live portion at between 3 and 3:30. Well, give us a call right now, 844-322-2742. It is the first half of the 3 o'clock hour Central Time, 844-322-2742, and it is Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today's the last day of August, the last day for you to get our resource, Your Living Hope. It's a wonderful resource, and we would love to put that in your hands. We're facing all kinds of trials and tribulations in life. What do we do when those trials and tribulations come at us?
Try to get to the gas pump early.
That's right. That's exactly right. Well, there is pressure from the world to conform to the patterns of this world. Peter talks about the fact that we don't have to give in to those pressures. We don't have to succumb to the temptations of the world. We can actually stand firm in the grace of God. And the way we stand firm is being anchored to this living hope that we have through our new birth in Christ because of his resurrection from the dead. So Christ Jesus himself is alive, living in us. So we have someone that we can lean on, that we can trust, that we can abide in this world. And as we do, we're going to find ourselves being transformed instead of being conformed to the patterns of this world. And that's exactly what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12. He said, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God." All of this is a result of the mercies of God. We're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So that's our response. So when life throws stuff at us, how do we respond to that? We present our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. We don't have to make it holy. We don't have to make it acceptable. God has already done that. So we are holy and acceptable in God's sight. And that's our spiritual act of worship. And then he goes on and says, "Do not be conformed to this world or the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." So we have an alternative. We don't have to give in. I think so many believers out there have resigned themselves to a second-class life. You know, this is just the way it is. You know, I have fleshly desires. I can't get rid of them, so I'm just going to give in to them. The world is trying to force me into a corner, and since I don't have the strength to fight, I'm just going to go to the corner. So many Christians resign themselves to a second-class lifestyle. Instead of living in victory, they just live in defeat. And we don't have to do that. Why? Because we have Christ living in us. And as we submit ourselves to Christ, present our bodies to him, we're going to see transformation that takes place, a transformation that puts us above the circumstances and gives us a godly perspective and really fills all the spaces of our souls with that perpetual hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And that's how we have to live, isn't it, guys?
Yeah, you know, it's a beautiful passage, Romans 12. I mean, there's just nothing like it. You know, three things come to mind for me, guys. You know, first, Bob, that you've emphasized already, that our bodies are holy and acceptable. There's a lot of junk going around these days. The idea that, you know, our bodies are evil, that our bodies are negative, that, you know, there's something wrong with that part of us, so we need to be all spirit and reject the physical. And that sort of nonsense was being pushed around by Gnostics and heretics long ago. And it's still going on today. But Christianity affirms us. I mean, God is embracing all of us. There's not a single part of us that he doesn't love and a single part of us that he doesn't like. That's the first thought here. Just, wow, my body, even my body is holy and acceptable to God. Are you kidding me? That's awesome. That means that he's for me through and through. And then secondly, just this idea of what worship is. I mean, I grew up with thinking, I guess like a lot of us did, I mean, worship is the 27 minutes right before the sermon. That's what worship is. And so worship is always associated with music. Well, you know, 1% of our worship might involve music, but the other 99% of our worship is any step that we take in dependency on Jesus Christ as we offer our bodies to Him. That's what real worship is. So, Bob, the beauty of that is that it can be done all day long, every day. You don't need a church building. You don't need a church service. You don't need a group of people around you. You can literally wake up every day and worship God by offering your body to Him. And then the last thought here, guys, I think that's just so awesome, is people get tripped up in finding the will of God. You know, what is the will of God? What is it? How do I get in it? How do I stay in it? And they're thinking of what car to buy, what house to buy, who to marry, all that. Well, here we see the renewing of the mind is God's will. I mean, God's will is that He wants to renovate our thinking. He wants to renovate our attitudes. And that's compatible with living anywhere, being anywhere. So I guess God's will is big. I mean, God's will is Jesus. So there's just, I mean, this passage is powerful, and it's packed with all kinds of goodness. And I love it.
Oh, me too. And I love the last part of it, that what is good, you know, when we are discerning what the will of God is, we're going to discover that His will for us is good, acceptable, perfect, and pleasing. God already knows that His will is good, acceptable, perfect, and pleasing. We're the ones that need our minds renewed on that. And when we figure it out and really take a step, offering our bodies unto Christ, we're going to find out that that will is pleasing and acceptable and perfect for us. That's what really gives the soul its greatest source of contentment, its most pure joy, and that really is awesome stuff. So
absolutely,
don't be conformed to the patterns of this world. Let your minds be renewed by the Holy Spirit. Offer your bodies a living sacrifice. That is your worship. You're going to find that that's what humanity is all about. That's when you are going to be the most you, you know, as God created you to be. So this is a great passage, and I think it's a wonderful passage for us to end this particular month's discussion on.
Absolutely. Well, of course, the world tells us that we need to get on the right side of history, but Bob, as you've said many, many times, they miss the point. The fact is that history is God's story, written in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, this DVD series we've been talking about, Your Living Hope, we've been offering it, of course, during the month of August, and as you said at the top of the broadcast, today is the final day that we're making this offer, but it will show you how to stand firmly in the grace of God, no matter the pressure you feel to conform to the patterns of this world. But there are only hours left to get your copy, so this empowering series is yours as you make your August gift on this final day of the month to Basic Gospel at midnight tonight. Of course, this offer is over. So again, it's called Your Living Hope, and to receive your copy, just go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call 844-322-2742 to make your gift and receive your copy of Your Living Hope. Again, basicgospel.net, click donate, or call 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to our phone lines in just a second, but want to continue to remind our listeners to be in prayer for those in Houston. If you have found a way to help contribute and send supplies and those sort of things, praise God for that.
Yeah.
And so glad that you are doing that. If you haven't and you feel the sense that you want to help, find a church, find something, and live out that desire. You know, don't just talk about it. Don't just say, hey, I'd love to send something. Go ahead and send something. There are many ways to make that happen. And I know, you know, when a big storm like that happens, you know, especially down on the coast in the Houston area, it has ripple effects all around. Like, for example, here in Dallas, gas stations are out of gas, and you can drive down a road and there's traffic jams and people are trying to get in and find gas, and I guarantee you tempers are going to be short.
I've seen that
there's
already
going to be all sorts of things happening, and let's as believers really step back and realize that God has us taken care of. That we can trust in His provision, and if we don't get to have gas in our tank today, it'll be okay. It will really be okay. We can still offer ourselves to the Lord, present our bodies to Him. We don't have to be conformed to that pattern of the world, to get panicked, to get fearful, to get angry over the situation, we can actually be content in God's provision for us and be patient with how this situation is unfolding.
Yeah.
So that's a big challenge for all of us, but I think as believers, we have Christ living in us. We can genuinely trust him.
Yeah. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and me. And friends, we're glad that you have as well.
Well, thanks. We're going to go out to Livermore, California, and talk to our good friend William. Hi, William.
Hi, William, Andrew, Bob. How you guys doing?
Doing well. What's on your mind today?
Yeah. I just wanted to comment on offering our bodies as living sacrifices. I believe that if we do that, then we will bear fruit for God. As Jesus said, he is the vine and we are branches. We abide in him, he in us. We will bear much fruit. And I believe that in order to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we have to die to the law, which is why Paul said that we have died to the law so that we may bear fruit for God. I don't believe you can bear fruit for God as long as you're under the law, because when you're under the law, you're concerned with your actions rather than resting in him and allowing him to produce the fruit that you bear. Your comments, please.
Well, my first comment, William, is that you need to be in the business of sharing Jesus with yes. people, because I think you do it so well. You've got a real way about bringing the scriptures together. And so what you've done, William, is you started with John chapter 15, the vine and the branches, and you talked about, you know, how we're a branch. That's our job. We can't be the vine. We can only be the branch. So we have to live and depend, and he causes the fruit. We just bear it. And then you say, well, what could prevent us from bearing fruit? Well, obviously, this notion, this fallacy of self-sufficiency that, you know, I don't need the vine, that the branch in and of itself is going to be just fine without the vine. Well, we're not fine without the vine, let me tell you. You go to Romans 7, and as you mentioned that, William, you know, we die to the law, we die to the earning system, we die to the achieving system so that we can be a part of the receiving system. So we're not meant to be achievers, we're meant to be receivers. And, you know, the passages that you've brought together are a beautiful picture, and the bottom line is basically depend on Jesus Christ. He is our everything. So I'm with you, and I think you expressed it beautifully.
Yes, you did, William, and we certainly appreciate your comments today. It really gets down to source, doesn't it?
Yes.
Who's the source of your life? And under the law, you are. It's all about human effort, and that doesn't get you very far. I remember talking to a pastor a number of years ago, and he said his wife came up to him and said, "Your flesh has taken you as far as it can take you, and it's time to let go and really let Christ be the source of your life." And it made all the difference in the world to him. And I think we really have to come down and figure out who the source of the Christian life is, and it's always Jesus. It's his life that he's given to us. It's his life that he lives through us. And as William, you so eloquently stated that we get to bear that wonderful fruit of his love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and faithfulness. And that's the best life ever. So, William, thank you so much.
One more comment, if I could.
Sure.
Several years ago, I attended a conference that you put on in Mount Hermon, California, and the subject was ministering through social media. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, all these years later, I finally got around to doing that, and I found very quickly that the divisions in the church are alive and well.
Yes,
and they are.
They come out through social media sometimes, don't they?
Yes.
Absolutely, nonstop. So I have been getting a lot of practice ministering through the social media.
Oh, my, I tell you.
Or it's been practicing on you.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right.
Well, William, I am so thrilled with you as far as your grasp on the Word of God, your walk of faith, your dependency upon the Lord, and how you're expressing that. And I know God will use you and your sphere of influence as well as on social media. So continue to be that voice for Jesus, for his love, his grace, his mercy, his life lived out through us. So thank you, my friend.
Yes, indeed.
Thank you.
Thanks, William.
You know, guys, if there were a hate button on social media, people would use it.
Yes, yes, they would, I tell you. Yeah. We see the pattern of the world on social media, don't we?
Yeah.
I mean, one of the patterns of the world is being judgmental. As soon as something happens, we just throw out our opinion. We judge it like it's never been judged before. And we have to realize that sin has already been judged in Christ, that he condemns sin and sinful man. And so we don't even have to engage in that. We have the opportunity to offer life. We have the opportunity to share life. We have the opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation. And boy, that is so much better. But certainly on social media, we see those patterns of the world in vivid display, don't
we?
We
do. So,
yeah, sure
no
do.
No question.
Well, let's go to Clay down in Thorndale, Texas, and hear what's on his mind today. Hi, Clay. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yeah, I've been reading in 1 John 2 about loving not the world or the things of this world in 14 and 15. And Andrew hit on it, God's renovation. In evidence, you know, and maybe you could talk about the paradox of the kingdom of God and the world system. But I wrote this just while I was listening to you. The world system so I won't go down a rabbit trail. You know how I am. The world system wants you to be proud, to work your way to the top, save all you can, practice greed, live life free with no absolutes. Where God says to become a servant so you can be the greatest. Give and it shall be given unto you. Humble yourself and you will be exalted. Decrease so that Jesus can be, so that you can increase in Jesus. And die so that you can live your life in Jesus. Whoever saves his life shall lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake shall save it. And what good does it do a man to gain the world and to lose his soul?
Yeah. Well, that's great, Clay. I appreciate your comments there. Very well written and very well spoken. You're distinguishing kind of like the Apostle John did. You brought up 1 John. I mean, 1 John is a set of distinctions. You know, here's light and what light looks like. Here's darkness and what darkness looks like. Here's God and then here's Satan. Here's sin and here's righteousness. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, you're creating your own stark contrast here between the world system and the kingdom of God. And you're right. The world system is full of pride and greed, and they say there's no absolutes and there's just chaos and lawlessness. And then, you know, we hear the gospel and believe it and we receive Christ and suddenly we've died to live, as you put it. We die with Jesus Christ, Galatians 2:20, crucified with him, buried with him, raised to newness of life, Romans 6. So it's kind of the neglected half of the gospel, really, guys, when you think about what Clay is talking about with the die to live thing. I mean, you know, people are always talking about Jesus dying for your sins, and that's awesome, and that's great, and that's why we're forgiven. But then there's this other issue of I've died with Jesus. I mean, I died with Christ, I was buried with Christ, and spiritually I've been raised with Christ. And so, you know, we get this, what I call the heart surgery, or you want to call it a DNA swap, or you want to call it being born all over again, or, you know, but we're taken through this radical surgery, of the cross and the resurrection, and that's what really distinguishes us from the world.
It really does. You know, the good news is the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When you look at it, the first chapter, the lead chapter, is death. And what good news story starts with that? But this one does. And so for that to become a good news story for us, that's where we have to start. We have to die with Christ. And that's exactly what Scripture tells us has happened, that we have died with Christ. We have been placed into his death through spiritual baptism. So we've died, that old man has been crucified, and the reason it was crucified was so that we could be raised to walk in the newness of life. So Christianity is not a self-improvement program. That's how I looked at Christianity for so long, that I wanted to be a better person, and God was going to come alongside me and help me become a better person. That was going to happen through discipline. That was going to happen through reading my Bible on a schedule. It was going to happen through doing these various things. But God was going to be basically my coach to become a better person. Well, God isn't in the business of making people better. He's in the business of making dead people alive in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what we really have to come to grips with, is Christianity is not a self-improvement program. It's a point where we die in Christ so that we can be raised to walk in a newness of life. Richard?
Yeah, there's a commercial on right now on television, certainly here in the Texas area, and it's about a particular brand of automobile. I won't give you the brand, but it starts off with saying, well, you want to be a good husband and father, but you know that's not enough. And then they start talking about all this stuff you need to achieve and achieve and achieve and achieve. And, of course, if you buy this kind of car, you will have achieved of it. And you contrast that. That's what we're doing, this contrast. You contrast that with the highest honor Jesus could give us was to call us a child. And the next highest honor is to refer us to his Father so that we can learn how to be fathers. And the way that is put together under the new covenant is so radically different than what is presented on an everyday basis in all of the media in whatever form you want to see it. If you pay attention, the contrast is stark. And seriously, Jesus wins. I mean, there's no contest here.
Yes, indeed. And I guess that's why humility is such an important quality and characteristic. We come to the Christian life knowing nothing. We knew nothing about God until Jesus started to reveal to us truth about God the Father. We had all kinds of ideas and opinions and thoughts and judgments, but none of those came close to the truth. So Jesus brought the truth about God the Father to us. And that's a continual learning process. We're going to grow in our knowledge of God, and we do so as we exercise that attitude of humility, to put ourselves, and I love what you said earlier, Andrew, that we're not to be achievers, we're to be receivers. Yeah. Humility puts us in that receiving position where we can really kind of open up our hearts and minds and say, Lord, pour the truth about who you are, your love and grace and mercy into us in such a way that it fills all the spaces within us and fills us to the measure of who you are. That's what this Christian life is all about.
Indeed it is. Well, keep in mind,
hey,
friends,
Bob,
that...
I just want to let you know, as soon as I'm going to hang up and order your Living Hope, as soon as I do, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful month, and I'm going to order that Living Hope right now. Thank you.
Thanks,
well, thank
Clay.
You, Clay.
Yeah.
We're so glad you're going to do that. And once you get the resource and listen to it, be sure and share it with friends, okay?
I had forgotten Clay was on the line. I'll come to, where'd that voice come from?
Yes.
Well, friends, keep in mind that we are streaming live video each day, and you can join us on Facebook or YouTube, the channels that Basic Gospel has designated. Just one more venue to share the gospel, and we hope you'll take full advantage of it. Only a few more hours remain, friends, for you to make your donation and receive your copy of our excellent DVD teaching series called Your Living Hope. Just click donate at basicgospel.net or phone your gift to 844-322-2742, and we'll send you a copy of this empowering series, Your Living Hope, from Basic Gospel. Again, that's donate at basicgospel.net or donate by phone at 844-322-2742. Tomorrow, a Hard Passages edition of Basic Gospel. We'll hope you'll join us for that September 1st edition. Till then, for Bob Christopher, for Richard Piper, for Andrew Farley, and all the ministry team here at Basic Gospel, Bob Davis, say God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow at the same time. Hope you'll join us. Bye-bye.